22. The World Economic Forum. The World Economic Forum, WEF, considers itself to be critical in setting each year's global agenda. It has become the premier gathering of international leaders from business, government, academia, media, non-governmental, and other civil organizations. From its origins as a small business conference in the Swiss Alps, the annual meeting has grown to become the event where the leading issues confronting humanity are discussed and debated at the start of each calendar year. Traditionally held in Davos, Switzerland, the annual meeting covers a wide range of issues including global economic growth, trade, business management, the poverty gap, technology, health, religion, and cultural understanding. The annual meeting has played a key role in identifying new trends in the economic, political, social, and cultural domains, and in shaping strategies and actions for corporations and countries to integrate these changes and maximize their potential. The forum believes that progress can best be achieved when governments and business can freely and productively discuss challenges and work together to mold solutions. The unique atmosphere of the annual meeting creates opportunities for the formation of global partnerships and alliances. In 2000, Paul Krugman, a liberal who says that globalization is overwhelmingly, though not entirely, a good thing, nevertheless offered a colorful description of the WEF's meetings. The scene at Davos. The superrich and their trophy wives schmoozing with officials elected and appointed, the lavish parties thrown by third world nations, and so on, represents a sort of distilled essence of everything people love to hate about the new world order. The WEF continues to attract a well-placed crowd. Forbes reported that the 2004 annual meeting had 2,280 participants from 94 countries, including some 800 chairmen and chief executives, billionaires like Michael Dell and Bill Gates, 203 ambassadors, and 31 heads of state and government. WEF leaders make it clear that they support global governance. At a 2002 WEF panel discussion of global governance, what needs to change, participants agreed that U.S. resistance to global governance slows the system's progress but expressed hope that the terrorist attacks of September 11th would result in greater commitment to a multilateral system. One in the WEF's report on its 2002 annual meeting, Klaus Gretschmann, the Director General of the Council of the European Union, wrote, "For a new world order, we need consistent policies, benchmarking of best practice and partnership in leadership, law compliance, international standards, guaranteed but fair property rights, absence of bribery and corruption, business and government ethics, and human rights will have to form sound foundations. Two, however, in emergencies, the global networks might have to take their gloves off." Gretschmann said, "Rather than working top-down, like an international hegemony, networks are horizontal powers embedded in a system of checks and balances. This does not fully exclude, however, that in order to prevent barbarism and fend off atrocious fanaticism, networks may need to take on, temporarily and partially, the forms and functions of a benign, global leviathan." It should be remembered that global governance has already made inroads into American sovereignty. In its June 2003 Lawrence v. Texas decision to overturn that state's anti-sodomy laws, the U.S. Supreme Court's majority opinion noted that the European Court of Human Rights, an organ of the European Union, had overturned similar British laws based on standards set by the European Convention on Human Rights. Justice Anthony Kennedy wrote, "The right the petitioners seek in this case has been accepted as an integral part of human freedom in many other countries. There has been no showing that in this country, the governmental interest in circumscribing personal choice is somehow more legitimate or urgent." Human Rights Watch, which had filed a friend of the court brief in the case, hailed the decision. Lawrence v. Texas is a landmark decision on the constitutional right to privacy of gays and lesbians in the United States. It may also prove to be an important decision for the incorporation of international human rights law into U.S. jurisprudence. With this decision, the court crossed a key threshold. Interpreting the Constitution with the aid of overseas laws, custom, and precedent, rather than basing its decision solely on U.S. tradition. This particular decision pleases liberals and libertarians, but the long-term price we pay in freedom may be high, since international law is often more authoritarian than U.S. custom. For example, much constitutionally protected speech in the U.S. would be illegal overseas under bans on incitement to hatred, sectarianism, racism, and libel. Quotations in this note are from Human Rights Watch. Many business, political, and religious leaders attended the 2002 WEF annual meeting. Among them were Frank Griswold, the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church in the U.S., four Cardinal Arins, Archbishop Carey, Desmond Tutu, the president of the World Bank, the president of the Philippines, the prime ministers of Canada, Malaysia, and Romania, Secretary of State Colin Powell, Bill Gates, and the CEOs of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the Saudi Arabian Investment Authority, McDonald's Corporation, and AOL Time Warner. 5. A similar cast of stars attended the 2004 WEF meeting in Davos, including Kofi Annan, the Secretary General of the UN, U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft, Vice President Cheney, and the CEOs of Nestle, Coca-Cola, Hewlett-Packard, Sony, Pfizer, Merck, Saudi Aramco, Nike, Siemens, and Chevron/Texaco. 6. George Soros, the president of the Council of the European Union, and the president of the AFL-CIO also attended. 7. Since 2001, WEF meetings have included religious leaders in order to discuss issues such as the role of religion in I. using moral resources internationally to build a genuine culture of dialogue, 2. searching out common values to bridge divides among communities, and 3. addressing the priority issues on the global agenda. 8. At the 2001 forum, the assembled religious leaders had said, "Our goal is to inspire a spirit of universalism while respecting the integrity of particular traditions. 1. There are no organizational ties between the URI and the WEF, but the WEF's religious agenda is compatible with that of the URI and other liberal, globalist movements." At the 2004 World Economic Forum meeting, one of the two discussion sessions that the WEF listed under Spirituality and Religion was Organized Religion Takes on Its Taboos. 2. The content was similar to the spiritual fair that has been offered by the State of the World Forum. David Rosen, the International Director of Interreligious Affairs for the American Jewish Committee, said, "Ways need to be devised to get organized religion to re-engage with what is happening in the world and to become a partner in improving the lot of humanity instead of being demonized as humanity's enemy." A cartoonist from South Africa showed some of the cartoons he uses to challenge religious assumptions. One of his cartoons depicted the Pope trying to hold back a tidal wave of condoms. Another depicted God as a lesbian. A woman bishop from the Evangelical Church in Germany lamented the way the church had used religious texts to marginalize women. A chief executive from King's Fund in Britain said that organized religion needs to become more inclusive and to become more open on the subject of sexuality. Lourdes Rizpe, professor of social anthropology from the National University of Mexico, said that women are naturally taking a larger role in religion because for the first time in history, society's primary task is no longer procreation. She appeared to endorse the thesis advanced by the best-selling novel, The Da Vinci Code. Arizpe also described how the modern New Testament appears, according to historical research, to have been selected by the Roman Emperor Constantine. In so doing, he omitted the Gnostic Gospels and may have instead chosen Gospels that are historically inaccurate. "History," she said, "shows that Mary Magdalene was much closer to Jesus than the Gospels indicate and may in fact have been one of the apostles." The other religion-related session at Davos in 2004, God and Politics, appears to have been an even-handed discussion of issues related to freedom of religion and the relationship between religion and the state. There was no apologetic for tradition in this session that would have counterbalanced the liberal, reformist bias of the taboos. Discussion 3. The price tag for participating in the WEF is high. Companies with full membership in the WEF must have annual sales of $1 billion or more, and the cost, counting forum dues, travel expenses, and the like, of attending the Davos Forum can add up to $30,000 or $40,000 per head. Some firms pay up to $250,000. These WEF partners are heavily represented among speakers at the sessions. In addition, partner companies help choose session subjects and suggest participants. "These are the people whom we are asked to trust with planning our future, a venture that Strong calls cooperative globalism.